Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
It's May 4th, 2017. Welcome, Survivor fans. This is the Rad Reality Show Network. I'm Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for Mike on the Mic, our Survivor recap show hosted by Mike Albright, who is the number one Survivor fan ever. He's currently met 468 Survivor alumni. And tonight, he has someone joining him that I think it's fair to say, no matter how far he placed in the game of Survivor, he's become a favorite to everyone who's had the pleasure of meeting him and getting to know him. From Survivor Cook Islands, Billy Garcia will be joining Mike to recap Survivor Game Changers. And as always, if you have a question, a comment, or an opinion you'd like to share with Mike and Billy during our show, just call in at 1-347-237-5506. And once you're on our switchboard, please remember to press the number one key on your phone. That lets us know that you're ready to join us on air and you're not just listening to Mike on the Mic from our switchboard. Now, after this little intro, we'll be right back with Mike on the Mic.
They have volunteered to be marooned for 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Mike. Mike, you're up.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, doing good. I've been battling a cold for about a week, but I sound almost normal. I don't have my cool radio voice, which I had like the past 2 days, but I'm glad I can communicate. And what a fun episode we had last night. And I can't wait to talk about it and maybe briefly touch base about last week. It was a rare occurrence for us to not have Mike on the Mic, so I'm glad we're back and glad we can talk about this show we love. How are you, Sherry?
Absolutely. Doing well, staying out of the flood right now. It's a terrible thing, tragedy that's going on in my neck of the woods right now. I know it's on a lot of the national news, but we are in the middle of flood 2017, and there's just so much tragedy going on all around me. Fortunately, my house is on high ground, and we're not in danger of flooding, but it's all around me. And my husband couldn't even go into work yesterday because there were so many road closures and highways were shut down. It's just awful. And people are losing their homes and sandbagging, and it's just awful. But, you know, you can't control Mother Nature. We've had almost 14 inches of rain in 8 days.
Wow, that's a lot.
And, you can't control it.
No, you can, but that's especially worthy where you live. That's, you know, the largest river in our country, in our continent. That's just dangerous thing, and I hope it stops. You know, April showers bring May flowers, but it's May, so let's put away the umbrellas for a while.
Well, this is the third 500-year flood we have been in since 93. They keep calling it a 500-year flood, but we've had three now since 1993. So I don't
quite
think there's 500-year floods anymore.
Sounds like climate change could be a real deal, so.
I believe so. We do have your guest on the switchboard, and I know that you're anxious to talk about Survivor Game Changers, so we'll get off the flood topic, and anytime you're ready, I'll bring him up, and we'll start Mike on the mic.
I'd love to have him.
All right, let's do this. I adore him. From Survivor Cook Islands, we have Billy Garcia with us. Hi, Billy.
How you doing?
Glad to have you back, man. Thanks for coming in, especially on this unofficial holiday. So for those of you not familiar with popular culture in the past 40 years, anniversary of Star Wars coming out, in 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks from back in 77. So welcome on May the 4th be with you, the holiday.
Happy Star Wars Day to you, too.
Sidebar, I guess, before we even dive into the show, as a fellow Survivor fan, and your past contestant, but from a Star Wars perspective, who do you think is the biggest game changer in Star Wars, and what's your favorite film in the series?
Biggest game changer? Well, it's got to be Shreve Palpatine, who rose to become Emperor. You know, you win the game, you and spend 30 years as the ruler of the entire galaxy. I would call that a game changer.
Game changer, and he fought another game changer, a little farm boy from Tatooine, old Luke Skywalker. I think I'd put him in a similar vein. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And my favorite film of the series is Revenge of the Sith. Can't beat him, you know, and Rogue One, which just came out not that long ago, is not far behind for me. You can't beat movies where everybody dies.
You just start, you know, tearing through the people. Yeah, that was, it was a good little, I was like, it's kind of interesting they're making a movie here. And I think, I like Sith as well. I think Empire is my favorite, but the reason I like Sith is the prequel should have been pretty much Sith forward. I don't think we want to see baby Darth Vader driving around in pods and making out with Padme with horrible dialogue. I think if they had been three like Sith, I don't think the prequels would have gotten in as much flack as they did. So,
yeah, I think people saw it from the wrong point of view. From the point of view that I saw it from, it was the rise of Palpatine, not so much of Anakin Skywalker. And I saw Obi-Wan as the star of the prequel series, so I really didn't focus too much on Natalie Portman, even though she went on to become an Oscar winner. I really didn't focus too much on her character as much as I did Ewan McGregor's.
Okay. Well, that was a nice sidebar, Sherry. Welcome. Do you have any opinion on Star Wars before we talk about the best reality show ever?
Pardon me?
Do you have any opinion on Star Wars? Because it's May 4th, so May the 4th be with you, which is a
I was hoping
Star
you weren't
going
to ask me that question. I've never
okay.
seen a Star Wars. I've never seen one.
Well, stop
I've
watching
never seen
reality
Star
TV,
Wars.
Sherry, and go check them out. They're pretty awesome. My reality TV is cool, too, but check them out. So.
Okay.
Well, Billy, welcome. And we're here talking about Game Changers. We're deep into the season. We had Christina on, goodness, I don't know, 6 weeks ago maybe, and we were trying to get people with connections to the current cast, so one of which played in Cook Islands before his three other trips. Do you have any opinion on just going into this season, the Game Changers, the whole idea, the name, the people that were on it? Just what were your impressions going into the season?
Well, looking at the cast, my opinion was that the name of the season is an exaggeration. The name of the season should have been people that attempted moves. Maybe, you know, maybe they succeeded or maybe they failed, but people that attempted moves. But that's too long of a name and it's kind of lame. So I can see why they went with Game Changers. There were people on the cast that sort of were makeup calls. Like Caleb was a makeup call. He's not really a game changer. Having said that, you know, I found myself surprisingly rooting for Ozzy as we were going into the season. I thought to myself, you know, out of all the people that they call in game changers here, here's somebody who changed the game in a different way than everybody else that you would consider a game changer, like Cherie or Sandra Diaz. He changed the game in that he was the first and maybe, you know, arguably the only great outdoorsman to ever play in Survivor.
Yeah.
So it was a totally different take on Game Changers. So I felt like he fixed the mold. So you know what? You know, I'll just go ahead and root for my old castmate.
Cool. I'm glad to see, not reconciliation by any means, but definitely you guys weren't on the same page in Cook Island, so I'm glad to see. And it was neat seeing, and there were about seven casts at the last finale, so it was neat to see some of the game changers there. I was a little worried because some of the people that were hanging around there were the early boots, but were you shocked to see Sandra last to, day 19 or whatever? If you had been there, how far would have Sandra gotten?
You know what? Everybody was gunning for her, and it's funny because that's kind of like the Jenna Lewis mentality that you won already, you had your turn, you got your money. Now it's time for somebody else to get a turn and make their money. So I totally get it and I understand it, but I have to admit that I would have been open to the idea of keeping Sandra around a little longer just because she was such a target. She takes the heat off of anybody else that might be considered a target.
Okay. Other person that I thought was a huge game changer, and I know she didn't win Micronesia because they went to a final two. I think if they had a final three, I'm pretty sure she would have beat out Parvati and Amanda. Is Cherie? Cherie's been there. She went six episodes or seven without even going to tribal. She's not got a vote. How far? And we're a spoiler-free show, so for sure. But Cherie Fields, how the hell is she still around, and how far do you think she'll go?
Well, I'm not surprised that Cherie is still around because amongst Survivor players, she's one of the most respected players.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me. And then the time to get her out, when Zeke was targeting her, they were winning. So I'm not surprised that she's gotten this far, especially with such a strong tribe that, you know, she had around her, which meant she didn't see tribal council until the merge.
Yeah.
I do think that we're nearing that time when she's about to be in some sort of jeopardy, if for no other reason that we got Sarah, who's flip-flopping alliances, and, you know, the person who would be a target in front of Cherie, Andrea, seems to be becoming slowly but surely a challenge monster in this season. She's won two now, right? Am I right about that? Two,
yeah.
Two immunities? Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, so if Andrea, if well, first of all, if Sarah keeps flip-flopping and holds true to form and flip-flops again, then Cerise Alliance is in on the chopping block. And if Andrea wins, you know, immunity, then where does that leave Cerise? That puts her right out there, you know, with her neck draped across the chopping block.
Yep, I would agree with all that for sure. Anyone else that you thought was definitely a stronger game changer, or I don't know, I can't re-articulate what you said, but people that were willing to make a move, people that came into this season, were anyone going in you were kind of rooting for or not rooting for, and now are they still here or not?
Well, I'm still rooting for Culpepper for selfish reasons.
Okay.
Culpepper, you know, I never met the man. Just a little bit of maybe a couple of Twitter things back and forth, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But for selfish reasons, if an early boot wins Survivor, then that opens the door for all us early boots. And being one of the most famous early boots, that opens the door for me a lot. So for that selfish reason, I'm rooting for him.
Cool. I would. And that's one of the weird things is Brad gets such a bad rap, I think, from his season, at least online. Just there's like a running joke on Mario Lanza's Funny 115, the third version, where every single entry has some kind of FU Brad Culpepper. I think his just persona is so weird, but in person you guys are all amazing to me, but he was just so down to earth, so friendly, so generous, and I'm glad he's doing well, and it'd be cool to see a season of, you know, pre-jury, pre-merge folks. So you're politicking for yourself in this scenario, I assume, and you've got one of the most memorable second boots of all time.
Thank you. Anyone else
you'd like to, your dream cast of other people that you feel have gotten overlooked that should come back? We saw Varner this season, who was also, you know, right at the merge, but never, you know, made a jury, so.
Right, yeah. We're actually seeing more and more of this. We saw that with Monica, who was an early boot, a pre-jury boot, who came back
yep.
and made it to the finals. So, yeah, we're seeing more and more, and as long as they keep doing well, Wentworth is another one that comes to mind, that she
yep.
she came back and had an amazing game, amazing showing. Yeah, there's several. I mean, you know, I'm in that old school / gray area of mid school, so
yep.
I tend to hover around a lot of those kinds of people. So people like Bob Dog come to mind.
Yeah.
Who's an amazing person, an amazing character. You know, in my opinion, he went too early. I just think. You know, it was the circumstances, not really that he did anything. They made, you know, they had to give a reason, and so you know, going to an outhouse and drinking wine, I guess, was the reason. But hard to see
yeah.
the reason, right?
Well, one of the things I was doing research last night, because we're kind of putting the cart before the horse, but you know, Zeke went out and the vote was 5-3-2, and I was curious about how many times somebody had gone home with less than 50% of the vote, and I posted in a couple groups, and then I went and did the research, because the only two I could think of off the top of my head were Gretchen from season one and Bob Dog, you know, good and voted out his season. I think he's a great character, and I would say if I was making a short list, you two would be on it for sure, and I'm actually going to probably post this in some of the different groups I'm in, is other people that are pre-merge, you know, a good grouping of people that you'd like to see in there. Sherry, do you have an opinion on that? That's kind of a pretty open-ended question. Just some early departees, you know, back in middle row folks from the finale. Who would you like to see back on a future season of the show that you like playing that might not get a shot because they don't fit any of these other criteria that they've brought people back from? Besides Billy, of course, like that's an automatic.
Well, yeah, of course, I want to see Billy back on there. I'm trying to think. I have a harder time remembering exactly how many, you know, how they went out.
Yeah.
I'll help somebody. Go ahead. I want to think about this a little bit longer.
Okay.
Go ahead and carry on.
I'll help you out a little bit here. We're going to go with a very recent season, the last season. I think if Figgy would have never had a Taylor like as a ball and chain, I think she'd have done a lot better. So
1,000% Figgy, agree. Yes.
Yeah. So I think Figgy is someone who went out early that should come back, and she definitely looked like she had a lot of game.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I'm trying to think of another female quickly. I'm thinking of a couple guys. Somebody like Hunter Ellis from Marquesas, you know, was definitely like a Jeff Probst love affair, and he didn't really get to, you know, stare at Hunter because he got taken out by Boston Rob, but I think he'd be pretty phenomenal. Like Lindsay from Africa, imagine if she came back. Yeah, there's a couple interesting people in the mix.
Well, let me ask you this one. I never hear anybody really delve into this too much, not even on the forums. But if we were to bring back, you know, somebody other than the two that got brought back from Palau, because Palau was the Pagangi, like who would you say deserves to come back as a second time player from that group?
From like the first boot, you mean, or?
Yeah, the tribe got Pagong, so you know they're all early boots.
All the Yulong people. Probably. I think the best character would be probably Redneck James. He's just great television. But he'd be great. Angie would be great.
Yeah, I like Angie a lot.
Tim Mullen.
I'm surprised you. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Jolanda, even. I think Jolanda got a raw deal, and she's the only person from Oolong to win immunity. Jolanda, I think their whole cast is pretty formidable. Even Willard gets a lot of internet activity. He's from Koror, but yeah, that whole group, even, you know, Jeff wasn't exactly the most riveting player. Jeff Wilson stepped on a coconut. Ashley. Not really. I'm trying to think any. Ibrahim, he'd be interesting because he's the only Islam or a Muslim cast member that's ever been on there, like that was officially, you know,
right.
Talked about their faith. So he'd be cool to come back.
Yeah, you know what? You know that you mentioned that it'd be interesting, like to have a season where. You know, instead of doing like a pure Cook Island season but with returning players, like maybe instead of it being race, maybe just have it be like a certain lifestyle, like a certain belief system.
Well, yeah, because like I think some of the hubbub going into this season was there was talk of, I think, Millennials Gen X being like a politically divided group, which would be interesting going into an election to have like, you know, liberals and conservatives and then moderates. Like, I think there'd be some amazing dialogue, especially after this past shit show of an election. There'd be all kinds of drama and conflict.
I have a couple of names that come to mind. First of all, Jillian.
Okay.
She went out. I mean, God love her. Look what she's done with Reality Rally. She went out so early, and I would love to see her back on Survivor and be able to, you know, prove herself out there. You know, the older people always seem to get tossed aside, and I don't know. But I always root for the older ones. This opinion is probably going to be liked by everybody, but I would love to see Nayanka back. I know
she's a great woman and a great character, so I agree with that too.
I would love to see her back. I really would. I just adore her, and I'd love to see her have another chance at it.
I think the challenge for Nayanka would be being in that the quitting category would probably – I don't know if production would want her back, but I think, you know, she didn't really go into the game from talking to her on this show and in person. I don't think she really understood what she was fully getting into, you know, being discovered or whatever for her particular season. It's unfortunate that her and Purple Kelly did, because they've both been great to this show and great to charity world, and they're just both great women. So it'd be interesting if they brought back some people that I would doubt CBS would ever do it, but, you know, maybe like a winners, quitters, and some other medevac, another one of those medevac seasons, because there's people like Bruce that should come back and a few other of those medical injuries. It'd be cool to see some weird scenario where they all got to come back and play.
Well, I think there is one scenario that's very, very different than what most people would think of for someone like Nyanka or Purple Kelly to get to play again, and that's to play in a fan versus favorites on a foreign version of Survivor, like the Australian version.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think the Australian version could ever get CBS to agree to allow the really big names to come over. The CBS will just hoard those for themselves. So then, you know, the B crew and the C crew would be the ones to pick from, and the crew on the bottom, the C crew would be the quitters, and
yep.
The B crew would be like myself, like the early boots. We may be well known, but we were such early boots that, you know, we get overlooked a lot.
I think those are all those are good scenarios for sure. I'd be curious to see them back in there, and I that'd be something that would help, because Survivor's still a top five show in, I think it's like Australia, possibly Canada. I know it still ranks really well there, and it's amazingly still winning its time slot here. It's 17 years in. I'm happy for it, but I am a little shocked that it still wins its time slot. It still has between 9 and 10 million viewers usually. It's just amazing the longevity of this thing. And as long as it's cheap to produce and wins its slot and Jeff wants to be involved, it could go on for 25 years or something crazy, if not longer.
I expect it to go longer. And my expectation is that at some point, Jeff will become too old to do it, and then that'll be the point where Jeff will take a step back and stay as an executive producer, and somebody else will become the host. But we're talking when Jeff becomes 65 or something like that. We're not talking anytime soon.
We'll see what happens. And a couple weeks ago, you know, Zeke got the boot this week, but we'd be remiss for the remainder of the season. We're probably going to get, just as a former player, just general reactions to what happened with what Jeff did and with Zeke, and just, you know, where would your line have been in your season if somebody had come across, you know, talking about however they were as a person. I guess what's in bounds and what's out of bounds in your opinion, and what was your reaction to what happened?
Well, my reaction is I understood Jeff Varner, because Jeff Varner comes from a season where, and not just a season, but a tribe, where he had that sort of incident happen where, oh my God, I can't believe I forget her name, but she had married her own son.
Oh,
and,
Deb, Deb,
yeah, that's right. So since he comes from that particular point of view where if you have a unique backstory, it becomes like your Survivor experience. I understand why he expected for Zeke to be in that situation where in the previous season, which they didn't get to see, they came out to play before it had aired. He had assumed that Zeke's unique backstory became his Survivor experience based on what his own, you know, his own point of view is. And so I understand why he assumed it, but it was still an assumption. He still gambled with somebody else's information. And so, you know, he's in the wrong, and he knows it. And it's just, I feel like it's tragic. I feel terrible that this happened to both these guys.
Because they're both great dudes. And then I think there was a bit of the fan perspective, the biggest thing I said, and you probably haven't listened to past shows, but, you know, we have no place to critique you guys because we've never done what you've done. And even your alumni that have also competed on the show all the circumstances in that their season is, you know, we're not privy to everything that could have happened. So, yeah, the whole presentation to me, I'm not 100% sure if things happen, you know, whose idea was it to even talk about this topic, you know.
Well, I, as a past player, I could tell by the way that the it foreshadowed what was coming, that it looked like he was being egged on by production.
Yeah.
As a past player. But having said all of that, I do have a message for fans on both sides of the fence for on this particular subject. And that is, this is, you know, not for me to decide or for past players to decide or for production to decide or even for fans to decide whether or not what Jeff Varner did was forgivable or unforgivable. There's only one human being on this earth that can decide that, and that's Zeke.
100%,
So people that are saying it's unforgivable, it's not for you to decide. You don't get to take that decision away from Zeke. That belongs to Zeke, and it doesn't belong to anybody else.
I agree 100%. I sent a kind message out to both of them, and, you know, when I see them both, it's not the first thing I'm going to talk about, but just, you know, it is a pivotal event in the season. I'm probably just going to give Varner a hug and just say, you know, I still care about you, man. And Zeke, I'm going to just be like, hey, want to sign the picture from last finale and just probably not try to bring it up unless, you know, he's talking about it, because it is a, you know, pretty sensitive thing. And I'm glad the show addressed it, you know, in the way they did. It's just like your season with the racially divided, you know, thing. It was very controversial. And this, any other show would have handled it in a different fashion. I'm even thinking of Big Brother, which, you know, Big Brother was hyping up Audrey like crazy, and I appreciate Survivor not doing that. Now, I don't know if Audrey had a different, you know, position going into her respective show, but just the way Survivor does stuff is just to a different level than other reality TV, so I commend SCG for that.
Yeah, for sure, and I sent Jeff Varner a PM, giving him my support and telling him, like, I stuck my foot in my mouth at Tribal Council, so I know, like, the shitstorm that it creates, and it's going to linger on for years, and it's just, he's just going to have to weather the storm, and he'll be for the better for it coming out of it. And Zeke, you know, I've seen him in person a few times. As last time at Survivor Know It All Live. Was I even supposed to mention that? I'm sorry. But yeah, you know, the best thing I could tell Zeke is just to say, you're my Survivor brother. That's what he needs to hear. He needs to hear, like, that's behind, you know, it's not even worth bringing up. That what the person he is now is the person that I know him to be. He's my Survivor brother.
Yep. And it was interesting, the whole, you know, fight for power and his kind of new style of, you know, in the old days, somebody like Zeke would have probably gone out pretty quick just because he's such a threat. But there's this whole meat shield now where, you know, Adam won last season by intentionally wanting people like David and Zeke around so they can battle each other out so you can kind of get through to the end. Because I'm kind of surprised Zeke got this far, and Michaela being unknown entities. It's only a few players have done the back-to-back seasons, and I'm glad that Michaela has gotten as far as she has, and Zeke made it to last night. So it was just neat, though, the rivalry between the voting block, you know, Andrea versus Zeke. And between the two, I would definitely be on Team Andrea. You know, I think I love Zeke as a player. He's got great confessionals and the way he approaches the game, but I think Andrea is just this person that we haven't really gotten to see a whole lot from in her other two seasons.
Yeah, and Andrea seems to be playing a very fierce game now. She sort of laid low in the early part of this season, and then now she turned it on to where she's basically looking to lay some people out with knockout punches, and that's entertaining. That's what we want to see. We want to see people go for it.
Yep. I think she is, and they got a strong group, and it's, you know, Officer Sarah is, Sri was referring to her last night. I think she learned from her experience in Cagayan, just, you know, being in the middle, the worst part for Sarah, though, if they get everyone gets together, why don't we all just vote for Sarah? Because she seems to be, you know, this pivotal person. I'm surprised they're not gunning for her just yet. But I think she could be in some trouble. I was also – were you surprised last week or was it 2 weeks ago? I can't even remember the – I'm getting kind of – we didn't have the episode last week, Billy, because Sherry and I both had some stuff going on. But the advantage that Michaela was just sulking and didn't even look down, and Sarah, you know, swims over and gotten that. Were you surprised that that happened? And how do you think she's going to use this advantage of hers with this nullification of a vote, which is unprecedented?
Well, Michaela was spending most of her time on that little platform, like rolling her eyes. So it's hard to see something on the floor when you're rolling your eyes in the back of your head. She did it to herself. Give props to Sarah for being very aware. As for when she's going to use it, I feel like it's going to be used fairly soon, and it's going to be maybe in a cluster format because we've got two hidden immunity idols with Ty, one hidden immunity idol with Troyzan. We got that advantage. We got the that Sarah has. We got the legacy with
Day 36 is going to be pretty crazy when everyone has to cash in all their cool stuff they've got in their Tony Vlachos. What did he call his bag of tricks? That episode, it'll probably be in the finale if all that stuff's available, is going to be shocking. And I did some data as a pretty big fan of the show. Do you happen to want to try to guess? I did this formulation. How many players have been eliminated with less than 50% of the vote? I was shocked when I did the stats on this.
I would just stick with the two that you mentioned.
There are those two I mentioned, Gretchen and the strangest vote in Survivor history. I mean, it was one of the most monumental as well, where seven different people received votes, but she got four and six other people got a vote. Bob Dog is pretty standard in this scenario, a 3-2-2. But 10 other people have been voted out without 50% of the vote, which I found. And that's not even with, you know, like ties and revotes. That's just less than 50%. And that shocked me when I went and did the data last night on Wikipedia. So does that surprise you, that stat?
Yeah, it surprised me a lot. I guess you have so many big tribes that nowadays that that sort of thing can happen. And and with the merge happening earlier and earlier, it feels like, I guess it facilitates stuff like that happening. But, yeah, I'm still shocked there's that many.
Yeah, a lot of it is around merge scenarios, right post-merge or, you know, larger groups of tribe members. So I'll tear through it real quick just because I think some of our listeners might be statistical. I'm not going to go through, like, every single aspect. But Brendan from Token Cheens, Dr. Jill from Nicaragua, Redemption Island had Andrea, South Pacific had Christine and Elise. Leaf, amazingly, came in short on his vote. Francesca the second time around, and Kara Moen. Cambodia had Cass and Steven, and old Debbie, who's sitting on the jury back in Koh Rong, she got knocked out 4-3-2. So pretty interesting.
Wow.
Stats, Sherry, did that surprise you as a fan of this show that 12 people went home with less than the majority of the vote?
Absolutely.
I'll have to send a message to Rob Sesternino so he can cover this extensively on Rob as a podcast, unless they've already covered it. I had nauseam, which who knows. With the episode, did you have any other big pivotal things you liked? Pretty interesting reward challenge where we've seen things similar to that. It was a, you know, pretty challenging word puzzle. Survivor's mixing it up lately, getting these huge puzzles. It was 30 clues that you got to get in. And it was fun, I thought, watching people try to figure out the 11 letter word and some of the different things people were, you know, popping off with. I can't imagine being in that situation, but what do you think of the reward challenge, either of you?
Well, I think the reward challenge was great, but it seems to me like with so many puzzles, not just this season but in recent times, seems like the puzzles are the great equalizers, and the stuff leading into the puzzle is becoming less and less important.
Yeah.
So maybe that last stage should be something other than a puzzle. Maybe they could come up with something else. Like they haven't done the memory thing in forever, where you have to swim out and go underwater and see some symbols and then swim back and try to get them in the right order. They haven't done that in forever.
Yeah, that would be good to stop on the puzzles. The thing where they run through the fake brick wall and like the I love that. It's just, I think if I was out there, I'd dominate that thing. That's seldom seen. And some of the weird, they feel like the challenges, I think it was okay like Cambodia and maybe Koh Rong. They felt like some new ones, but it feels like a lot of let's repaint stuff in the closet and mix up with the order of some of the things. It's not like some of the old school seasons where every challenge, reward, and immunity just seem totally unique. I mean, it is 34 seasons in, so there's only so many things you can do, but I feel like we're getting a slightly repetitive with the challenges that we see.
Yeah, it feels like they got like some sort of trunk, the way they pull all these different challenge aspects out, and they just arrange them in different orders.
Secure off feels- the crates. Yeah, he's just got a big old semi truck that he just they just travel around on the take it different islands and let's do this thing and we'll stick this cargo net here and then just paint it. Yeah, okay, well, we got a challenge.
Yeah, yeah, feels a little lazy. But then again, at the same time, they've created so many different things that I guess they feel like are so cool that they kind of just just pushing it, until it gets old, and then they'll create something new.
I agree with that. And some of the things you can't have all the time, like I'm thinking like the Vanuatu vertical puzzle, really cool, but that's probably pretty hard to make and save it for like the final four. So yeah, that makes sense. And the rewards seem pretty good. Real bed, which we didn't see the people in the bed. I thought that would have been interesting dynamics to see the group of people in the bed. That would seem like something they would have done on old school or mid school Survivor. So we didn't see the bed. I don't remember seeing anyone eat the cheesecake, but people were all excited about it. And Aubrey gets always comments about the like weird thing, like ooh coleslaw, and I forget what she said last night. It was some other weird piece of food, and Aubrey was like ooh they've got. I'm like what are you? They've got ooh they've got ranch dressing. It wasn't that, but she always has these weird comments.
yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not surprised about the bed. Is that if there's nothing to show, if everybody just knocked out, like,
nothing
what were
to
they
see.
Gonna do? yeah, nothing
there was
to
probably
see.
No idol fight like in Heroes versus Villains, where Colby's fighting Danielle and Amanda or maybe. Were you
and
surprised? Go ahead.
I did notice that on the last shot of the reward, where they show like a just before they cut the commercial, was the last shot, like there was a glimpse of a field producer just walking into frame right as it cut.
Oh,
and
I need to go back because that's pretty rare to see that kind of stuff. So I'll have to go back.
Yeah, it's very rare, and so I wonder if something happened to where the field producer wasn't liking what was going on, or If something happened with the cameras or the sound technician or something that just forced them to just, give everybody a gag order, eat food, go to bed, and we'll start again when we get the equipment working.
Have to go back and spot that. I did not notice that. And, you only see the production folks if it's like a medevac usually. So, I'll have to go check. Where was that right after the reward, you said?
Yeah, they were in the reward. It was the very, very last shot of the reward, where it was a reaction shot of one of the players. I could be wrong. It could be Sarah. It was a reaction shot, and then behind her, you could see the field producer like starting to walk from behind a wall and up towards them, and then that it cut the commercial. It's about
I will have to go back and check that out. Interesting.
Yeah. So it just made me wonder if it was something technical going on.
I'll have to go back and see that. I watched it twice yesterday, and I didn't catch that, so I want to see that. One thing I did see was the, you know, Zeke bonding with the alpha males over football, which is just interesting, all the context and subtext with that. But I also, as interesting as that was, the female reaction by Andrea of, well, what the hell are they talking about?
She was not happy.
I'm like, they're talking about football, and, you know, Zeke had an interesting transformation, but he's a guy, and many guys like to talk about sports, and football right now is the most popular sport in our country. And I was just like, yeah, they're having a connection. They're just talking about some football. Like, but Andrew was like, seemed offended. Like, people wanted to talk about that. I just found it fascinating.
Yeah, I think she's a woman scorned, so I don't think it mattered what they were talking about.
Yeah. Mother Teresa. She's like, I can't believe they're talking about Mother Teresa and Gandhi. Who are these people? Like,
yeah, she still had it in for Zeke from the previous vote.
That was – and then we had the people on the reward, then the people not on the reward. So it's always neat seeing the dynamics and the groups between there and their reactions to that. So is the strategy of the people on the bottom are always the ones that more likely than not need to scramble. So there was a lot of, you know, Ty and Sierra and Troy just trying to figure out, you know, what they're doing. And I was pretty surprised going into the episode. They kind of, you know, tricked me a little bit with who got the boot. Were you expecting what happened? Or were you thinking where the minority would go?
You know, I was expecting a guy to go for sure. That wasn't the guy that I was expecting to go. I'm glad that it wasn't Culpepper, because I was worried going into the episode that, you know, this is about around the time when people are saying, oh, he's a physical threat, he's got to go. But we're not hearing that. We're hearing strategic threat.
Yep.
So that's but then again, it's not like Culpepper is tearing it up. Didn't he get beat by Michaela in his part of the reward challenge?
I think so. Let me check real quick. Actually, he did better than she did at the reward. He advanced past her. I'm pretty sure he did it slightly better.
Well, yeah, I think he advanced. Yeah, I think he advanced past her when it came time to pull the numbers. But in the obstacle part, I think Michaela actually overtook him.
Oh, yeah, she was dominating that. Yeah, she was really good at that part.
Yeah, and he's a pro football player. He's a pro athlete. So I think, you know, they're not talking about him as a physical threat, because I think we're not seeing the pro athlete. We're seeing, you know, an older guy.
Yeah, he is. Just, one thing that I found interesting was how many of these people didn't make it on second chances. There's a couple of people that didn't make it into that season that I think have done an amazing job, and I'd be curious if they had been in second chances. You know, sometimes it's the right time. But, yeah, Brad and Troy Zan are both in that older guy. You know, Troy Zan's older than Brad. I should know that. I'll jump on.
Yeah, yeah. He's in his mid-50s.
And Brad's in his 40s, I think, probably.
Late 40s, yeah.
But same, you know, demographic. So I'm glad they got their shot to get in here and mix it up.
Yeah, yeah, we're seeing I'm surprised that Troy Zan isn't going for it more. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, I think because of his age, he might feel like this is his last chance to play. So he might be playing very, very safe.
He was. He was up at Bob's event 2 summers ago and got to fifth place, but he kind of got – he was so good he became a marked man. So I think he's intentionally throwing challenges, even some of these individual ones, just so he doesn't appear as threatening. That's just my kind of read on him from watching him and being his, like, executive producer out there. I think he learned a lot from our game, and he's trying to do things to make it where he is now.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, we're getting to the nitty gritty. I mean, anybody that's holding back, we're getting to the point where they might want to turn it up and just try to win their way to the end.
For sure.
Which, I would think Troy Zan and Culpepper are the two most likeliest to be able, you know, to have that extra gear to turn it up.
Yeah, and individual challenges, I would say them, maybe Ty, if it's like balance, or Andrea has been pretty tough. She was, you know, that first Redemption Island, she beat out three big dudes to get back in the game. So I think she's tough. Michaela, I think this is a pretty, depending on the challenge, a pretty flexible group. I'd say, you know, weakest probably, depending on what it is, maybe Aubrey or Suri.
Yeah, Suri, I would say if it's anything physical, Suri is the weak link. But once you get into the brain game or the skill game, because she's a nurse, like
yep.
her, she can manipulate her hands pretty well or have steady hands.
Yep.
Yeah, in fact, I would say in a challenge, that challenge where you have to maneuver, you have to hold a stick with a ball at the end of it and maneuver
yep.
it through a wireframe maze, I would pick Suri in that challenge. But
I would agree wholeheartedly, yes.
Yeah. But in other challenges that has to do with running and jumping and ducking down under things and all that, she's definitely at a disadvantage.
I would agree. What would you think, because we didn't get to recap this last week, the moment that Suri and her and a lot of the players had that, and I don't think they would have shown this until a couple recent season or so, with them all going to help Suri last week. What as just a former player who had some challenges and challenges, what was that like to watch as a fan and as a past player? Did you have different feelings watching that? I mean, it was very emotional for me because, you know, knowing all you guys and knowing all the people playing, it was just cool to see.
Yeah, it's you know, to reiterate what I said earlier, Suri is one of the most well-respected players amongst the players. And so
yeah.
it did surprise me, but it definitely tugs at my heartstring.
Yeah. Sherry, what do you think? Because we didn't get to talk about that last week. How did you feel about that interesting moment we don't really have and get to see like that?
You're going to have to repeat where you're at. I was in a conversation off to the side with someone
That's okay.
else.
I was just saying Suri, when she had trouble in the last challenge last week and Sarah and some other people went out to help her, what was that like watching? Because it was something we've never seen before.
Oh, my goodness. That was a touching moment. Watching her just, you know, get it done. The whole, you know, both teams watching her and, you know, pulling through. She really, you know, had all eyes on her. And I know that knowing that everybody was standing there watching her, you know, Jeff Probst, the whole crew, both teams, everybody was watching her, and it had to, you know, make her even more nervous. But she, you know, really came through and got it done, and I know it meant the world to her.
Yep.
So I think she did some real bonding there once she, you know, came through that. That meant the world to her.
I would agree. The immunity challenge was a little more mundane than, you know, it was, and I was surprised that we only had one real person that was close to winning that all their dominoes fell. We've seen this one a few times. I don't know the specific seasons, but, you know, Andrea wins her second immunity. Billy mentioned that earlier. I was surprised we didn't have a couple more people get close and then their dominoes fall. It was Andrea just did really well in that challenge.
I think Zeke looked like at the very end, after Andrea was declared the winner, like he put one more domino down. And then hit his and said, look, he would have had it. Like, that was his thing.
Yep.
And I think they showed that on purpose, foreshadowing the elimination for the night. That
yep.
if he'd have got that one last domino down and then made it back to the front before Andrea, that he would have won immunity. So, he was the closest. He was one domino away, and then he had to make it all the way back.
So, yeah, it was one hell of a challenge. I thought that was cool, and Andrea was safe. I would have been more curious because Sierra was a was a target, and I think it would have been interesting that would have mixed up everyone's moves. Did you think it was a smart move for Sarah to tell was that Suri she told about what her advantage
yep.
was?
Wow.
What would you have done in her shoes if you were there and you happened to have that advantage? What would you have done?
Well, she told the best player in the game. I would have told the best player in the game. Suri already has enough of an advantage in that she's that good. That's already too much of an advantage. And then she's probably the most experienced player left in the game. So she's the best strategically. She's got the most experience of the people left in the game. You don't need to give her a third advantage, especially when her history is that she has the ability to take somebody's advantage away from them and then vote that person out the moment they give it away. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't have put myself in that situation.
Sherry, what about you? What's your take on that? Would you have done what Sarah did by giving out that information to Suri?
No.
Okay. Me neither. I agree with you both. And I'm trying to think who I would have told out of this group. You know, Ty got just as deep as Aubrey, but I wouldn't have told Aubrey. I wouldn't have told Ty. I think somebody like possibly Troy Zane or Brad just to build some kind of a bond. You know, thinking like, where's this other idol? Maybe Troy Zane will tell me that if I tell him this. And maybe we can have an information exchange and we can both screw each other over. Maybe Sierra. But, yeah, I wouldn't have told Suri Fields anything. Aubrey, no way in hell. Ty's a little too, even though he has two idols. If you know anything, you know, just answer it another way. But what the heck do you think Ty is going to do with these two idols? And how is he going to mess up his game? Because I keep envisioning Ty doing something stupid again with his idols that's going to hurt him. So do you think he'll play it well? Do you think Troy Zan will? You know, do you think we've mentioned earlier, think it'll all come down on day 36, a whole bunch of stuff coming out?
That'd be crazy. When Troy Zan and Ty were talking, I thought for sure they were going to tell each other about the idols. Like, I was dead set. I was like, oh, this is the part where they compare notes and they find out they have three idols between them.
Yep.
And then it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I was like, oh, what a missed opportunity. They could have seized the reins there. They could have took over the game with three idols. It doesn't really matter what Andrea had planned.
Yep.
They could have, you know, Zeke had before that come forward to Troy Zan and Culpepper, say that he wanted to work with them. So that was a number. That was
yep.
a number that would have gave them the advantage. And I would have, you know, that was the opportunity, like, to find out about all these idols and save Zeke and who knows what else they could have did. And, oh, man, what a missed opportunity. I hope next episode they find out and they work together, because I'm rooting for Culpepper and they're part of Culpepper's alliance. But
it's the final nine. We've got an interesting scenario. If it somehow comes down to a 3-3-3 vote and the idols are played right, one thing that's never happened is all votes being nullified in a vote. And I think if somehow they play their idols correctly, I think it'd be amazing TV, because I want to see what happens if every vote's nullified. What does CBS do? They have to have a plan ready for that scenario with how many idols have been around before, but that's what I would like to see, a combination of your thing and this. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see. You know, I'm actually concerned that, you know, it's the final nine, but once you get to the final eight, like, if they play all the, you know, if let's say the legacy advantage gets played. Not the legacy,
yep.
I'm sorry, the steal a vote gets played.
Yep.
Aren't you telling somebody who potentially has an idol that they better play their idol? Like, by stealing their vote?
Yep.
So if Troy Zan and Ty get together and exchange a note, and they figure out they have three idols between them, and that their alliance at this point is really an alliance three with Culpepper, because Sierra is ready to jump ship, and Sarah's been flip-flopping like a fish out of water. So their alliance is really an alliance of three. They've got the three protected with those three idols. So, even, yeah, even in the final nine, now you don't even have to wait the final eight. In the final nine, you know, you play the three idols, all three people are protected. You know, even if they split their vote, it won't work.
Yep.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting. And then I could be wrong about this, but I think the steal a vote, when there's a tie and, you know, the potential is to go to a rock, you can't steal a vote at that point. You have to steal it before the first
Yeah, you'd have to steal it first.
Yeah.
Because you can't use an idol on a revote, and you can't have – if there's a tie this time, right, they there is no revote. It just goes to rock. So maybe that's why there won't be a 3-3-3. It's auto rock. Remember this season, no revote. It's right on to rock.
Yeah, so and then the people that got voted on don't pull rock. So here's a curious thing. Three idols get played, right?
Yep.
That's three people that don't pull rocks because they're immune. The individual that won, the person that won individual immunity, doesn't vote. I mean, doesn't get voted on. So that's four people that are immune that don't pull rocks. Then the two people that got voted that tied, they don't pull rocks. Because if they're tied, everybody else pulls rocks. That's not the two people that got voted on are immune. So right now we're at what, six people out of nine that wouldn't pull rocks?
So three people pull rocks and there's one bad rock. That would be amazing TV. Where's the Emmy? Give us the Emmy, please, because we earned it. Like, yeah.
Wow, that would be a great way to take out a power player, somebody that's been in such control. Like, if it were like Serene and Andrea and Sarah that pulls rock, you're guaranteed that somebody that potentially could win is gone.
If all that happened and the steal of vote happened, it would just be crazy. If somehow that could happen too. That would take out the seventh person. There would be two people pulling rocks. You're either here or you're not.
Oh man, that's crazy. Oh,
that
man.
Would be pretty cool. Then we get to the vote, and it's a 5-3-2. Interesting votes. We get Andrea, Aubrey, Sri, Michaela, and Sarah all going for Zeke, and that was a bit of a misdirection. I wasn't expecting that. Then we've got Brad, Sierra, and Zeke, or Brad, Sierra, and Troy Zane going for Ty, and then Ty and Zeke going for Sierra. So interesting vote that I don't think was telegraphed very much. I didn't expect to have what happened.
Yeah, and Michaela crying after the votes were read. That's pretty telling that, she feels like a backstabber.
Yep, she took out her fellow person from her season. I don't think they were crocodile tears. It looked pretty sincere, or just ultimate jury management. I don't know. But they all talk and try it. Ponderosa. Even have you watched the Ponderosa videos at all? Or
I usually wait until after the season's over because one time I don't want to get too deep into it because then we'll get sidetracked. But I felt like one time I was watching the Ponderosa videos and there was just enough said that it felt like a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it felt like they foreshadowed something that the episode hadn't foreshadowed.
Okay. Interesting. So, I'm gonna be careful next time I watch.
Yeah. So I wasn't I'm trying to remember which season it was. I remember it was a season Coach was on. I can't remember which one of his seasons, but I felt like it had it foreshadowed some stuff, and I wasn't too. I was like, I should have never watched this. Why did I do that?
Might have been Heroes versus Villains because they did some fun stuff there. Do you think if they did that for the pre-jury? I think that'd be interesting to see that, what you guys are up to. Is it a similar experience to what we watch? Is you just kind of hang around camp and then you guys do your trip, right? So is it pretty similar to what we see with the jury, or how do you guys interact pre?
I think there's more hard feelings in the pre-jury than there is the jury.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of mean mugging and a lot of arguing that goes on and it definitely, for my season, like, if you remember, I got to see all my tribe mates come one after the other.
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, so I had a lot of I told you so looks, you know, that I gave them. I gave them a lot of, you see?
Nice job that was on that challenge, I too. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, it was a suicide bombing. You just didn't kill me, you killed yourselves. So, yeah.
As he escaped and got there, and I'm always curious. Do you think why did Ozzy not beat Yule? I mean, I know why Becky.
One answer. The deciding vote was Candace, and Candace called him out called Ozzy out on the throne challenge.
Okay,
that was it. So the story was the throne challenge like shaped the season, and I just don't think the edit executed it well. But that was, you know, new school Survivor would have executed that edit well. Old school Survivor, they show you chickens running away and a lot of spear fishing and a lot of outdoorsy stuff. Like, it didn't show a lot of the game.
Yep. Makes sense to me. Closing thoughts, anything? Moving forward, you've kind of said who do you think's got the best shot from here on out, and who do you think's got the worst shot this next week?
Well, one of the things that I'm looking at is a lot of Debbie's reactions on the jury, because they're showing it a lot. They show her giving the middle finger to Sarah. And then when someone said, well, they're game changers, after the vote, she replies, well, they're idiots.
Idiots.
So, yeah, they're going to – I think this is going to build up. There's a foreshadow of maybe Debbie letting someone have it in the final tribal council. If Sarah makes it, maybe why she doesn't get that deciding vote.
Well, one thing I'll echo with reflective listening, your thing, maybe what happened to Neil happens to Debbie. Maybe she gets voted out of the jury and she's talking so much shit. And then one of the finalists gets to vote out old Debbie.
Yeah, you never know. I just feel like they're playing up Debbie a lot. So I don't know if it's going to be like some sort of Sue Hawk type speech, or if her vote will be the one that decides who wins and who loses. A la you just mentioned Ozzy and Yule, that one vote that decided it all. I don't know, but it feels like it's something that's being foreshadowed. I don't know any spoilers. I don't like spoilers, so
me
I'm
neither.
Guessing here. Yeah, I'm just throwing some stuff out there that is just catching my eye. That it feels like they're playing Debbie up a lot in the jury.
We'll see what happens. Sherry, do you have an opinion on that? What do you think's up with Debbie on the jury?
I have noticed them showing her a lot. And somebody I think went, oh, it was when they gave a confession to who it was that flipped, I think Debbie flipped her off. That's what it was.
Oh.
They sort of hid that, but you could tell that Debbie flipped her off from the jury seating over there.
Okay. Well,
they are showing her quite a bit.
She's getting a decent. There's all kinds of weird things. Who knows what other things they will pull out? I'm excited because it's like my 15th or 16th straight finale to go out and hang around. And I'm really hoping Isabel's coming with me, my fiance, and I hope she gets to go to her first finale. So we'll
nice.
See what. Well, hopefully we'll get tickets and get in there and watch some cool dramatic things happen.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm supposed to remind you, actually, Mike, to reach out to Cecilia and JP to see if they're going to go so you can get that poster autographed.
Yeah, they're both in Southern California, so I will I'll message both. I think I'm friends with JP on Facebook, and I know I am with Cecilia, and I'll mention that. I got to remember to take that poster with me and get, because I forgot to get Ozzy. Because I wasn't sure I was going to be there. So, Ozzy, I can get him, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I will message him, and I'll let you know if I have any trouble with – I'll have to check my contacts if JP's on there. So I'll let you
all
know
right.
about that.
All right,
but
cool.
I appreciate you spending some time on here, man, and got you in here. There wasn't band practice, and I have great insight. This has been a fun episode. Sherry, do you have anything before we wrap up or anything else to pitch or –
Nope, I think it was a great episode. I'm looking forward to seeing how all this plays out. It's been an interesting season so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, we wait with bated breath. So. But thanks, man. Thanks for coming by. And we'll see you in, what, a month, right? Oh, Reality for Diabetes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I already, you know me. I like to ride the Chinatown bus. I already got my ticket.
I'll probably be picking you up, buddy, so we'll see.
All right, man. I always come out of that with a lot of interesting stories. So, I'll have them to share.
I can't wait to hear about the Chinatown bus, so.
Yeah. All right.
See ya.
Good hearing from you.
Oh, thank you.
You take care.
You too.
All right. Well, I guess that's our show for tonight. We're going to wrap things up with Ron as we always do, but I want to remind everybody to please join us on Monday for Monday with Michelle Costa from Big Brother Season 10. I don't know who our guest is going to be on Monday, but I'm sure we're going to have a great show. That is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, Manic Mondays with Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10. And then back here again on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central for Mike and the Mike again. Here is Ron to take us away for the night. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe out there and be kind to each other. Good night, all. Here's Ron.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It's always a great one with Mike Albright. Mike, say good night.
Good night, everybody.
That's a wrap, everyone. Take care, and again, have a great weekend.